Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leona Abraham Brando. I am the Blog Talk host for Shedding Light. Today we have on with us Beth and Jesse Michael, founder and co-founder of the Pen Pal Connection Ministry. And Beth is the author of the book Visit Prison in an Envelope. Beth and her husband, Jesse, have shared the gospel through support and spiritual letters to those who are behind the prison bars with little to no hope, the incarcerated men, women, and youth who feel that they have been thrown in prison and the key has been tossed. The Christian Pen Pal Connection is a faith-based ministry that recruits Christian volunteers who are willing to correspond with the incarcerated men and women in order to show support and share inspirational and supportive scriptures that will bring the remorseful individuals closer to the one true God, who is loving, forgiving, and a merciful God. So let's welcome Beth Michael and her husband, Jesse, to talk about their ministry and to discuss Beth's new released book. Beth, are you on with us? Beth?
Yes, hello?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you today?
I'm good. Yeah, thanks. I'm here.
Okay, Beth, do you want to explain to the audience a little bit about your ministry and the work you've been doing all these years?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's been going on a pretty long time. I started writing to prisoners back in 1989 with Prison Fellowship, and I was led to write to a prisoner from reading the Bible, Hebrews 13:3, where it said to remember the prisoner as though being in prison with them. And so I wrote to Prison Fellowship, and I got my first pen pal in 1989. His name was Richard, and he was a nice guy, and I enjoyed writing to him. And that grew. And then 10 years later, we started Christian Pen Pals, which is the ministry that we have now.
And you've done a lot of good. As an advocate myself, I have gotten to know and respect you so much for the work you've been doing.
Oh, that's mutual, yeah. I really appreciate the work that you do and the help that you've given me and your support over the years.
Beth, you want to explain a little bit about your book? It's really something I'd like to know more about.
Okay, let's see, like I said, we started with Prison Fellowship, and they had the program, the Pen Pal program, but after Chuck Colson passed away, that was dropped. They no longer have a Pen Pal ministry. They do other ministries with the prisoners, but not the correspondents, so they sort of gave that over to us, and the inmates and the volunteers came to Christian Pen Pals. But then they had a book, and it was published in 2003 with the same title, Visit Prison in an Envelope. It was outdated, so I asked them at Prison Fellowship if we could, write a new one. And they gave us the transfer of copyright to do what we wanted to with it. So I totally redid it. And with our ministry in mind, it's using everything, our volunteers and our inmates. So it's pretty much it's along the same line as theirs, the outline, but filled in with all of our information and our inmates and our volunteers. So it's a really great tool, I think, a valuable tool to have, to especially the new volunteers, but anybody really, helps them to understand what the ministry is about and how to go about being effective in their writing. And it's also a motivator to get more people to join, because that's really what we need. There's so many inmates, especially the guys. There's just so many wanting help to turn their lives around.
Now, Beth, you've been recruiting volunteers for this Pen Pal Connection for some time now. Do you want to let the audience know how they can contact you in the event they want to do some volunteer work as far as the letter writing?
Yeah, that's our greatest need, really. We ask for donations and everything, but the greatest need is for more Christians to join with us, because there's just so many inmates. We've got, I think an estimate would be 2,000 prisoners waiting in our files, and it takes probably 18 months for them to come up to be matched and assigned to the pen pal that volunteers. So we need a lot more people. And all they have to do is go to the website, or they can email me. The website is cppministry.com, cppministry.com, or they can email me. It's the same, cppministry@gmail.com.
Or they can call me.
Now,
or
do
they
you
can
have
call
a...
Here.
Do you have a donation button on your website?
Yeah. Yeah, they can donate with paper or credit card, I believe. And, you know, we are faith-based. We don't have any support from anywhere other than volunteers donating. But they can call also. I was going to give you the phone number here if anybody wants to know more. 828-256-6100.
Great.
And the only requirement is to be 18 or above and to be a Christian.
Now, Beth, a little bit more about your book. I know the audience would be interested in something more about the book that, you know, would give them more clarification as to the work you do and also what the book is about.
It's sort of a manual, correspondence manual. It covers, I should have the guideline, the text here, context, but they can go to Amazon, and when you go to Amazon and look up Visit Prison in an Envelope by Beth Michael, it will give you the context, and it covers everything that anybody would want to know about starting an individual ministry or a church ministry. We cover the church ministry, too. That works really good for somebody to start up a ministry and get some others in the church to write also. And they can have the one address, the church address, or the one P.O. box and write together. That works really good. But it just covers
now
everything. It's what it's like to
I know
be in
you've
prison.
Been doing this.
Yeah.
I know you've been doing this for some time, and I'd like to know some of the experiences that you've had in the work that you've been doing.
It's a total blessing. I've really been, it's a privilege to be able to help these people, because they're really humble and often broken. But then some of them, you know, they know they're forgiven, they know they're loved by God, and they're just, you know, really on fire for God. They just have a heart for God. I got a letter here that I can read to you. It's sort of a sample. A lot of them are new, that they've just given their life to God, and then they need a mentor, they need some guidance and encouragement. But this is a letter from Jason. Would you like to hear my letter?
Yes, please. This is what we were really interested in, too.
Okay, this is just a typical letter from Jason that I just got the other day. My name's Jason. I'm excited about writing and sharing my spiritual strengths and hopes. I've been in the county jail for 100 days, and upon arrival and getting away from my addiction, I realized I need Jesus full time. I've been living my life my own way ever since a youth. Its results have always been county jail, prison, and once to a rehabilitation center. So I hit my knees and cried my eyes out and asked God to help me, because I can't do it myself. I submitted my whole life, body and soul, to Christ, and it's been a relief. I'm walking daily with my Heavenly Father, and just in the last few days, I feel like I'm at a standstill. And then he goes on to say that he's asking questions about the Bible. He's asking questions about growing. And that's when he needs a mentor to come alongside. like the Bible says, you know, when there's two, there's somebody to walk alongside if one other can come up. So that's what we do. We walk alongside these people. And then he just closes off, really thankful, full and grateful. You're like, this is here. And he says, you're a friend in Christ, Jason.
Okay. Actually, a prisoner was just calling a few minutes ago. So this experience that you've had, what does it do for you, Beth, when you get letters like that?
Well, some of them are quite heartbreaking. I mean, this one's not. He's fine. He's just going to find somebody and grow more. But some of them are just really broken, and they don't know what to do. You know, they're hard, but there's somebody there that will write to them, and they, you see the change. I mean, this one thing about this ministry is that, you know, you have a captive audience, they say. I've heard people say that they're a captive audience and they're not going anywhere. They'll keep writing back, and they want to know. They want help. They want somebody to walk alongside. They want to know that somebody out here cares, that they're alive, and that they're valuable in some way.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Beth, because the media tends to over-publicize sometimes, and prisoners are stereotyped, and it seems like the people in the communities are so frightful of them. But an organization like yours, a ministry like yours, means so much to them because it gives them hope, and it also makes them realize, it makes them meditate on what they have done, and to make them realize that, you know, that there are better ways to go, staying on that narrow path rather than going on the broad path to destruction.
That's right, and a lot of them do say that God set them down so that they would listen now, and they give thanks to God for putting them in prison, or they attribute them being in prison, you know, caught because they were in drugs or in whatever crime they were in. Most of it is drug related, and this saves their lives. A lot of them will say that I'd probably be dead in a year or two if God hadn't have put them in prison. So they're really thankful to God, and they really, you know, they get humbled, and they're really looking for help. And open to what we share with them.
I think what happens sometimes is people forget the Bible, because when you think about Moses, Moses killed an Egyptian, and he was remorseful of what he did, and God forgave him. King David, he not only impregnated his loyal servant, soldier's wife, but he also had him killed. And he was remorseful, and Psalms throughout the Bible talks about his remorse, and God forgave him. And Saul, before becoming the Apostle Paul, killed so many Christians. And he became well known in the Bible. So sometimes the spirit may be broken. Sometimes depression can overcome and cause someone to fall. And there are stumbling blocks out there, and we know that this system of things is coming to its end, so it gets really worse. So this is a time the prisoners really, really need Christian pen pals, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And people think, well, they've got a chaplain, or, you know, they got rehabilitation, but really they don't. So many times they don't. There's very little rehabilitation in prison other than Christ and somebody teaching them about Christ. And often the chaplain is not even a Christian. They have to have somebody there for spiritual guidance, but he could be, you know, anything. And they have to guide the Muslims or whoever wants any kind of spiritual guidance, and they really don't know anything. A lot of times, now there's good chaplains too, but you can't. Plus they're overworked. They're just one person to all these others. And then sometimes the inmates are in the hole, like they're in isolation, and they can't even go to the chapel or be around other Christian inmates or chaplain. So really, sometimes all they have is, and sometimes they have no family, and often the family that they might have would be, you know, the same type of people on drugs and criminals and bad influences. Most of them have not grown up with a good mentor, a good role model.
Really? And it's, in a way, it's easy to discern those who are seriously trying to rehabilitate, or those who are truly, really trying to get closer to God. And I used to encourage, with my organization, my volunteers, when a prisoner starts asking you for money or starts getting close, you want to know that that prisoner is not trying. So
right.
A lot of people, when they start writing prisoners, they have to be very cautious, because there are prisoners who will try to get romantic, or they'll try to get money. And this is not a prisoner or prisoners who are trying to change. And I always encourage them to really let me know, or let anyone know, if this is the case. And we can just close them right out.
Yes, that's one thing about my book, and I should have brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. The book goes into all these things that could be a problem, asking for money or getting romantic and everything. And, you know, there's a way to deal with that, and I have seen that turn around. I've seen, in fact, our Christopher used to, when I first met him, ask for money. He wanted us to give him a salary. He wanted to be our son, and he should get a salary. Not a salary. What is it that you give your kids? Allowance. He thought he should get an allowance. But he was a funny kid. He got over all that. He never asked for anything now, and he's become a good son. But they get over that. And I've had some that that wanted to be more than pen pals and wanted me to be a girlfriend or more. But you can get them out of that, too, if you handle it right. A lot of times, and sometimes they'll just quit writing when they see that you're sticking with Christ and not going the way they want to go. So, you know, it's not necessarily mean that they're hopeless as far as the gospel goes. We still try to minister to them and try to share Christ with them, because, you know, we know that more than anything, they need Jesus, and they need love, and they think love is another woman, but we know that love is Jesus, and that he's going to help them if they'll just come along and change their views. And some of them will. Some of them will come along and stay as friends and learn more about God. So it just depends. Yeah. But is really good on that. It tells you how to handle that and to get them through that and let them be the ones to stop writing. If you just keep pointing them to Jesus, they'll leave.
There was a saying my mother used to say all the time: if you have company and you want to get rid of them, talk about God. Because if they're not interested in God, they're not interested in being.
Right.
I have a scripture that one of my favorite in the Bible. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It says, anyone that says they love God whom they cannot see and hate the brother or sister is a liar. And to me, that's basically what it's all about. We have to love one another because we love God and we have not seen him as yet. And I'm having a problem here with an echo, so that's why it's kind of difficult for me with this show today.
Yeah, I hear a bit of an echo, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what's causing that. But.
Yeah. But, you know, I encourage anybody to do this, and you don't have to put up with disrespect or inappropriate behavior. It's only the few, but a lot of people do get turned off if somebody starts out asking for stuff or asking for money. And, you know, just tell them that that's not what we're about. And either they go or they stay. And if they stay, then we keep, you know, sharing our lives as well as God. We have to get their trust first. And, you know, it's not just about teaching them the Bible and scriptures. We want them to trust us as a friend, you know, a friend on the outside that cares about them, and we share a little of our lives. We don't get deep into, you know, details about our life, but we let them know things that we're doing and things we enjoy, and just, you know, treat them like a friend, as well as putting in about how we came to God. We tell them our own testimony of how God's helped us through different situations in life and how he's been so faithful and taking care of the things that we need, providing for us.
There are so many lost and forgotten prisoners, you know, the prodigal sons that are trying to come back, and it's
right.
Just sad that in this world today, especially in this country, now they say in this country it's called mass incarceration because there were so many people in prison, over 2.5 million in prison, and yet we are the only country that has such a high rate of incarceration. And we in this country have a very cold, retaliative, you know, vengeful society, and it's so much needed. Christian pen pal connections like yourself, Christian organizations. We need to come together in unity, in harmony with God's word, and try to help these individuals who have fallen.
Yeah, Christians are not to be like the world. The world says, you know, they did the crime, they have to do the time. Leave them alone, just let them rot there, you know. But that's not what Jesus says, not at all.
No.
He's quite the opposite. He says that we go to them and we lift them up and we lift them out of the pit. And, you know, he wants to restore them to his right plan for them.
And as you were mentioning earlier, that's what it says in the Bible, visit the sick and in prison. You know, because these are the things that are so much needed. Jesus never committed a crime, but yet he knows what it was like in the prison. He suffered a great deal, and he knows what prison life is all about.
Yes, he died. His last few days on earth was in prison, and he was crucified next to the criminals. He knows what it's like.
That's it. Exactly.
And Paul, too. Paul wrote a lot of his letters. His epistles were written. Many of them were written from prison, so he knows what prison's like. And he wrote back and forth to the church outside and to the members that he loved and who loved him, and that helped him through prison time.
Really? It really is sad. It's sad to know that these people can be so much of use on the outside, bringing the, you know, good news to people. But we have a society that there's lambs amongst the wolves, whether behind bars or whether in the communities. God has his lambs amongst the wolves everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. And like the Bible says, that it's not flesh and blood that's our enemy. You know, that inmate wasn't a Christian when he went into his crimes. He really didn't have the power to resist his temptations to steal, lie, and cheat and do drugs, because the enemy, you know, there really is a force against him to do this evil and in society and in the world, but he needs to humble himself and accept Christ, and then he has a new power, a new life, and he has the resistance. He can resist the devil and stand up for what's right and do the word of God, do what's right.
Exactly.
Because a lot of them don't
know
what's right. Learn that too with the Bible. Get in the Bible.
If people were to go to even Revelations, when it in chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, it talks about how Satan was thrown out of heaven. Satan, a disobedient angel, you know, one that wanted to take over what God was doing. But it talks about Satan being thrown out of heaven. And it talks about the temptation that Jesus himself went through.
Right.
But also, it reminds us that we are only made of dust, you know, so our weaknesses are much, much more detrimental to us than it was of Jesus, because he was the king. But honestly, people have to realize that Satan is in control. And as you said, like in Ephesians, it talks about we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against, you know, the spiritual darknesses of the world in high places.
Right. Yes.
And when you look at the high places in this world, what is it? It's our government leaders. It's our leadership that's in high places in this world today.
Yes. Yes,
so
the world.
It takes
system.
Good... takes Christians to really make a difference, and I love what you're doing. I really do, and I think that you have been doing a really good job in writing these prisoners, turning their lives around, making them see that there is hope, you know, letting them know about some of these things.
Yeah, that's a key in their letters is hope, and they have to have some hope, because without hope, they're just lost and suicidal. We do get some that are suicidal, and they see no reason to live, and we reach out to them. But it's really hard because they lose a loved one. Maybe mama, you know, died, and they can't even go to the funeral. So, you know, they're really broken. And there's nobody there to go to. You know, they don't have any family, and they couldn't write to them. Nobody to call, nobody to care.
Exactly.
Got a Christian pen pal, and that's what we all need more of.
And as you mentioned, the suicide rate, I mean, it's a high suicide rate in this country. Even here in Massachusetts, the suicide rate is unbelievable. You know, people,
yeah.
these men and women are just giving up, and so much is happening while they're behind bars, and no one goes in to help them, not the politicians. A lot of the politicians go their separate ways until it's time for votes. You know, and there's so many human rights and civil rights organizations that are not doing the job. You know, it takes some kind of compassion, and it takes Christianity, and that's what's happening.
Yes, that's the only hope, is the Christ and the Christian people. The Christian people taking their place in the prisons, like Jesus tells us to do in the Word. If we take our place in the prisons, then everything will improve. There won't be as much crime out here. I feel like because of us and this ministry, that there's a lot less crime out here. A lot of them do go back to prison, and it's not unusual for them to be rearrested and sent back to prison, but usually it'll be a less of a crime, or it's breaking their parole. You know, it might take one or two or three trips to prison before they get it right, but they're trying and they're improving. If they've got Jesus, they've got help, and there is a change in them, and we can see it. We know that it's there. It's remarkable in some of them, and some of them it's slow, but you can see it, and if you stick with them and follow through, you'll see the change, and you'll see hearts soften.
Well, Beth, we're getting ready to run out of time. Once again, everyone, the name of the book is Visit Prison in an Envelope by Beth Michael. Beth, I'd like to have you back on again another time, because I've had some problems here with the phone. There's been some echoing and everything. So I'd like to have you back when we can actually have another discussion about the book and the ministry. And
okay.
We can talk about that at another time.
All right, that'll be good, Leona. I appreciate that.
And once again, everyone, I'd like to have you. Beth Michael is the founder of the Christian Pen Pal Connection. Beth, once again, give them your information.
It's cppministry.com and 828-256-6100. Beth Michael, Christian Pen Pals. You can also Google us. We're there, right there at the Google search. And invite everybody else that you know to come and be a pen pal, because we really, really need more and more. The guys are endless. They just keep coming every day. We get new requests.
Okay, and we will be having Beth Michael on with us once again. And we will be setting that up, and then we'll have this show back on again, and we can once again talk more about the ministry, Beth. And thank you so much for your patience with me today, because this has been kind of an awkward situation here. But we will be back with Beth Michael soon. And everyone, I thank you for being on with us, and I thank you for listening in. If you can, contact Beth, and maybe you can do some volunteer work, virtual volunteer. You don't even have to leave your home. Beth, thank you once again. I really appreciate your being with us. I feel honored that you were with us and able to share the new book, Visit Prison in an Envelope. Thank you so much,
Thank you,
Beth.
Leon. Appreciate you.
You take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless.